We are back. This is Taylor Clark. I am here hosting Toss Salad on KPTZ 91.9 FM. I am here with Brett Navin, and did I pronounce that correctly, Brett? Yeah, who is the seventh grade English teacher right down the road here at Blue Heron Middle School. And I have four members of his seventh grade class, and they are going to be reading their own poetry. Is that, did I get that right? Okay. And let me just ask Brett a couple questions here. So let me, hang on. Does it have a number on it? Might say four. Four. All right.
There we go.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
All right.
And actually, let's get all these other ones on so everybody can... We're gonna play along at home, okay? So you've had a poetry segment this semester.
Or? We've written several poems over the course of the mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. and these are coming from a couple different assignments they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is it hard to get them to write poetry? Or
no.
Do they,
no. No. People love to write poetry. That's a pretty blanket statement, and there was a smirk there. Some people love to write poetry, but. I mean, I think generally middle schoolers like to do it because it's so expressive.
Okay.
To use some language.
Well, then let's ask them. So we have here in the studio, and this is the order they're going to be reading. But but I just want to introduce. We have Hazel Windstorm, and thank you for coming by. We have Addison Asbell and Aiden Nichols. Hi, and Fiona Skidmore. And thank you all for coming in. Does anybody want to jump in? Was it easy to write, or was it something you wanted to do? Have you done this before? No, you gotta. It's radio. See, in radio they can't see what we're doing, so you gotta jump in and talk.
Okay.
Yeah. Addison? No, no. Oh, all of a sudden they got it. They got us. Well, radio does that to some people. Why don't we try a poem first, and maybe then I might feel more comfortable. So, Hazel, are you gonna? You're gonna start?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to kind of choke up on the mic a little bit, and Oh, I see. We're short. Just a moment. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to read "Ode to Raspberries." Polished stalks shine in the evening sun. Delicate thorns bristle from the mahogany wood. The harsh winter wind rattles the leafless stalks. Yellow grass weaves itself around their roots. They curve gracefully toward the gray skies. The occasional bare stem peeks from between their thorns. Tiny leaves uncurl neatly outward. Pure shafts of sunlight soak into the leaves. The once brown stalks suffused with a soft mist of green. Bunches of leaves erupt from the earth. Early bees hurriedly zoom across the modest white flowers. Runners burst forth from the earth, persistent as thistles. Clusters of berries adorn the bushy branches. Tiny emerald tree frogs nestle, jewel-like, in the nursery of leaves. Birds float down to feast on the delicate fruit, the ruffled plants saturated in summer sunlight. Bees, drowsed with warmth, hum lazily across the dandelions. The plants explode across the paths, berries brushing the ground. Sun dances across the many tiny orbs crafted together. They are not solitary fruits, clustering instead in brilliant bunches. The bright white cores remain on their stems even after the berry is plucked. An explosion of scarlet against the emerald background, leaf-fringed stalks brushed with berries, the once brown landscape now a riot of green. Leftover berries hang sadly from their stems. They disintegrate into sweet puddles on the ground. Sticky, discolored fruit adhered to the rotting cores. Yellow jackets crawl, drunk on sweetness. Leaves shrivel and collect into drifts on the dirt. The once bold stalks are bare again.
Wow, that was like a... Brett, help me out here. What's the word? What's the stop motion photography? Where things,
I just see a lot of images throughout
yeah,
the whole season.
Yeah, it's the images, how fast they come one on the next on the next.
Yeah.
And now, if I was doing a drama coaching, I would say that I want that again slower. Can I ask for the one stanza where the berries burst, the berries burst out, and try to read each line with a little bit of space around it. And because I think it was a strong visual, but for me, that's why I had my eyes closed. It was like it was almost too much. It was coming at me. Yeah. Don't the berries? It's like it's sort of one stanza from the end. It's before the yellow jackets and okay.
The sun dances across the many tiny orbs crafted together. They are not solitary fruits, clustering instead in brilliant bunches. The bright white cores remain on their stems even after the berry is plucked, an explosion of scarlet against the emerald background. Leaf-fringed stalks brushed with berries, the once brown landscape now a riot of green.
Can I borrow it for just a minute? Leaf-fringed stalks brushed with berries, the once brown landscape now riot with green. It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Just from the standpoint of hearing it, your poem is dense with images, and wow, nice work, Hazel. Really nice work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hazel is also, this was an extra credit assignment she did, but Hazel also gets to go to Seattle in a couple of weeks, the 23rd, I think, May 22nd or 23rd. And read at Benaroya Hall.
Oh.
With a lot of other poets and writers from around the Puget Sound region, with a program that we do every year called WITS, Writers in the Schools, and the WITS instructors select a student from each grade in each school. And Hazel is the 7th grade representative this year going over. 7th graders in our class wrote personal narratives.
So talking about how the presentation goes is not lost, because you'll get a shot at doing this again. Is that the poem you're going to read?
No, I'm reading a story that I wrote from Italy.
Yeah. I would. My advice is just take your time, because your voice is worth hearing. Okay. Addison Aspel, what do you have for us?
I'm reading a poem called Ode to Grant Street. Grant Street is not just a school. It's a childhood. It's a memory. A memory of friendship. A memory of education being fun, a memory of Zero the Hero. It could be a dream, but it's not. It's where you find kids you grow up with. It's where you meet your best friends for life. It's where you read all day in pajamas. It could be a dream, but it wasn't. There is family. There is friendship forever. There is a slideshow that makes third graders cry. It could be a dream, but I lived it for 4 years. Grant Street has no walls without masterpieces. Grant Street had no staff without a smile on their face. Grant Street had no uncreative people. It could be a dream, but you don't forget it. Tradition of a science fair I looked forward to every year. Tradition of a talent show that I loved. Tradition of releasing fish into a stream. It could be a dream, but it was real. Remembrance of walking on the beach. Remembrance of taking pictures next to the sign on the first day of school. Remembrance of my 9th birthday being the last day of me being a Grant Street student. It could be a dream, but it was real. Can't happen again when your best friend walks you to the nurse when you lost your first tooth. Can't happen again when you get an excellent Eagle Award that you cherish forever. Can't happen again when Jess quizzes you on your memory when you get hit in the head. Knowing me, it might. It could be a dream, but it happened. Grant Street is not just a school, it's a childhood, a memory, a passion. Grant Street's a family. Nothing can sub for a family. Although there's not the school, there's still the memories.
This is the Grant Street that's now gone.
Yes.
Well, isn't that the problem? Is that life as we experience it is continually gone.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting they tore the school down. I like the part about walking you know, walking to the nurse with losing your first tooth. I also like the Brett, I have to ask you for that. There was almost a rhythmic repetition of something in there. The same sentence kept coming up again.
Right, that repetition. Addy obviously worked on that pretty hard to get that.
Yeah, is there a name for that? That
I'm sure
device?
There is, and I should know it.
Yes, you should.
Hazel, what is it?
Okay. Yeah. No, that was that good stuff. And you know, I like that. You know, because for a lot of us, you know, Grant Street was just that funny school that it was like it's about time they tore it down and built a wonderful new place. But you kind of miss it. Yeah. Good.
So that was an ode assignment that we did. This one was extra credit too.
Mm-hmm. What's an ode assignment?
They wrote odes. So an ode is an emotional act, emotional.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Praise of an object. An
emotional reflection.
Emotional reflection of an object. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was great. We submitted that to a couple different places and haven't heard if it's going to be published yet, though. But
yeah, good. Okay, let's. Make sure your mic's turned up. So we have Aiden Nichols here. Okay.
I'm going to be reading Imperfections.
Okay, let me get it away. Can you get just a little? Yeah, good. Okay.
Your big glass comes in on a wave.
Wait. I got something wrong here. Ah, that's what it is. I got you now.
Okay. The opaque glass comes in on a wave of sticky salt. Not quite smooth, but rough and strong. Even though it's been tousled and turned, roughed and shaken, it endures, strong as ever, tough as nails. Milky clear, triangular, but imperfect, full of dings, dents, dips, and the like. Yet through these things, beauty emerges. The radiant reflection of the sun's grace demands the attention of a flock of seagulls scavenging for scraps. Peck, scratch, scraps, returning to the merciful arms of the life cycle, only ending when the flame of life burns out. The beach sparkling with glass, pebbles littering the surface, sand obscuring the crabs, alive or dead, and coating the pebbles. The opaque glass that comes in on a wave of sticky salt. Its journey will only end when I pick it up.
You know, where Hazel's was a series of images, that was a series of sounds. And I also like the words you've picked and also the way you said them. There was a sharpness, a clattering, clattering quality to the whole poem, but particularly the part about the pebbles and the wave and the pebbles and was that at a beach?
Yeah.
I love that sound of the when the wave crashes onto the beach and then it pulls all the pebbles down the beach and they all clatter down the beach. That's what I was hearing. And is that what you were hearing when you
yeah.
So that was a wonderful auditory poem. Can I have a quick look? I want to ask you to read a part of it again. Yeah, the last two stanzas, starting with the beach sparkling with glass. Can you read that again?
The beach sparkling with glass, pebbles littering the surface, sand obscuring the crabs, alive or dead, and coating the pebbles. The opaque glass that comes in on a sticky wave of salt. Its journey will only end when I pick it up.
You have great diction. You have really a good voice for that kind of, because those are hard words. That's a hard read. Because a lot of us sort of, we trip over our lips and our tongue, but you got them. You're not Demosthenes. Have you taught them Demosthenes yet? Demosthenes was a Greek orator, and he wanted to speak well, but he didn't speak well. So he literally put pebbles in his mouth and then learned to talk with pebbles in his mouth. So when he removed the pebbles, he could speak more clearly. You're looking at me like I'm a nutcase. It's a story from ancient Greece 2,000 years ago, but he's famous for pebbles in the mouth. But for you, the pebbles were on the beach, and your voice was very clear. I really like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that poem by Aiden was a part of an assignment we did on beach or sea glass and beach finds.
Mm-hmm.
And we submitted all the seventh graders' poems to a magazine called Beachcombing, based out of Capitola, California. And Aiden's was one of the three from our school selected for publication this summer.
Wow, that poem! Congratulations,
yeah,
that was nice. Fiona, she's like, no, not me. Now, why don't you take number three there? Okay, and you gotta get closer to it. Yeah, don't worry about moving it. We're just gonna deal with that, and then let's make sure you're on. So we have Fiona Skidmore is our final student who is going to read poetry.
Okay. I'm reading a poem called Ode to Pasta. Oh, pasta, how I love you. Your taste of bland gluten and hopefully butter. You make me think of relaxing feelings of calm afternoons. So many things you can be, dishes and dishes of buttery goodness. Oh, pasta, you are one of the first things that my mother taught me how to make. Put a pot of water, a pinch of salt, a bit of oil to boil till steam fills the kitchen, and you feel like you should open the windows and be glad that steam can't set off a smoke alarm. Drop in the spaghetti or rigatoni or even lasagna. Pet the cat or read for 15 minutes or so till the soft pasta is soft and delicate all the way through, and then you can attempt to safely take it out of the pot. The problem with pasta is that because of its bland taste, people seem to think that they can put on anything they want on it, which of course they can, but tomatoes, alas, are my doom. They're soft, squishy, mushy, disgusting tomatoes are my sorrow. They taste of acidity, sourness. And I can't see why people fry them and sprinkle them on top of pasta like so many grains of sand and salt. Pasta seems to be an American comfort food, both rich and flavorful, simple and bland. It's found all over the world. Soba noodles, lasagna, mac and cheese. Pasta seems to hold the flavor of foods around it without overwhelming them with a strong, tyrannical flavor. Once one flavor overpowers others, my senses take note and I find it increasingly hard to properly enjoy the dish. So, I have stated my claim that pasta is a perfect food, a comfort food, a food rich in history from all over the world, a food that is so close to my heart and soul. Though this dish may have some downsides, such as gluten, calorie, and sugar, and a baffling association with tomatoes, pasta is a treat.
You don't like tomatoes very much, do you?
No, I do not.
You have a sense of humor too, don't you?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a wry quality to your writing and to your presentation there. The mushy tomatoes, and they kept showing up. They kept pushing their way in. Do you prefer your pasta with just Alfredo sauce on it? Cheese and butter.
Well, tomato sauce is all right, but
not
the tomatoes.
Okay.
Don't like the tomatoes very much.
How'd you get the idea to write that?
Well, it was an extra credit assignment. Yeah. And
you sat at home and thought, oh, pasta will give you. Mr. Navin, he'll give us credit for that.
You can write a lot about pasta, so lots of different types.
You can write lots about pasta. Well, thank you, Fiona. That actually, I have to say, that tickled my sense of humor.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And that one was submitted to, and it will be published in Jefferson County Library's Teen Anthology book this summer. Yeah.
It's very exciting, all these kids getting published.
Yeah.
I know my son got one published, and he still talks about it. You know, he's 25.
So. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember that time I got to go in and they asked me to come and read. And yeah, he was very proud.
Yeah, it's
of
a great community for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very willing, very accepting of promoting young people's art.
Okay, should we talk about the Northwest Waterways?
You guys want to share some information about that?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to read through this, so you're going to have to. I see NOSC. I know that's the North Olympic Salmon Coalition. Addison, what do you got for me?
We went on 3 field trips to go plant trees and learn how to we learned how to plant them, and we learned like how deep, what type of soil, and like where to plant them. We each got these plots, and we had to fill them with as many trees as we can, and we probably spent a lot of class periods like planning where to plant them and stuff.
Planning where to plant them.
Yeah, because we went, so the first field trip, we saw where we're planting. Mm-hmm. It was behind Fat Schmitty's. I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the preserve near Chimicum Creek,
mm-hmm.
and we saw how that is what they worked on already.
Yeah, and so you can see how they'd done
our goal, basically,
was to make one look like the other.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then we went, then the second day, we went to our plots, and we measured, and we removed, and all of that. And we also planted. The third day, we went back. We planted, no, we didn't, we plant. We like looked at how the plants were doing. We blue tubed them so they would be safe from animals and mm-hmm. all of that.
Just to protect around them, yeah.
And we also got rid of invasive species.
That's hard work.
Yeah, blackberries.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah, the invasive species removal was pretty wild. It's pretty much like, that's I don't know,
Fiona speaking
something
here.
Like 20 kids hacking away at blackberries.
Yeah, because they fight
shears.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then removing the, well, we called them dragon hearts, the big root bundles.
Fighting over who's not going to have the mic. I think we don't have to put everybody on the spot. I think I am going to just say thank you, Hazel Windstorm and Addison Asbell and Aiden Nichols. Thank you. And Fiona Skidmore. And of course, Brett, thank you for bringing this in. I don't know if you know, but Tom Jay is normally on, would have been on today, but he's not feeling well. He normally comes in and does a word and a poem, and that would have been just before, and he didn't make it today. So I'm glad that we had poems today.
Right.
That worked out really well.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'd just like to give a quick shout out to Port Townsend Education Foundation for helping us fund our WITS program for the writing that we get to do for mm-hmm. a couple weeks. And for our Protecting Northwest Waters field trip, that's a grant through NOAA, an Ocean Guardian grant, plus the school district pays they help us out quite a bit to do this science-based project.
Yeah.
It's great stuff we do at the middle school and the district in general.
Good. All right. Thank you very much for coming in.
All right.
I'm gonna just say this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and we'll be right back with Jerry Osborne, and I'm gonna play something from Beck here.